Okay, so bring your awareness within. And you can do that with your breath. And bring it in with your consciousness also. And as you continue your breath, bring it into your heart and let it expand right there. Feel the love of the Star Mothers around your heart and around your body and around the room. One of the wonders of not having a physical body, as they do not, is to inhabit so much space. And take another breath in. And allow now your mind to slow down. Be in the right now, right here, where there is nothing else to do but hold the space right where you're sitting. Become open. You are each a vessel into which information comes, but also which information is revealed. And as we did yesterday, we begin to reveal more layers of our deep connection to our Lemurian, Pleiadian, Akash. And as you breathe that awareness in, and you say yes inside to the excitement of all of those gifts that you're receiving, also know that many of these things will be revealed slowly over time. As Lee was saying earlier, timing is always perfect. We may not like it, but step aside and let your mind take a rest. And let your heart and your intuition be your guide as you travel these pathways that lie before you on this miraculous and sometimes mysterious journey, this mystical journey, this journey of awakening and remembering what love really is. Remembering what your wisdom really is, and remembering the deepest place inside of you that your compassion comes from, for your own beautiful Lemurian self and your family that's with you here.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. I would like to speak briefly about perception. Those in the room have just gone through a study, and it is of perception. How old do you think civilization is? What could have happened before? What is the perception of angelic beings? What do you see or what you don't see? How do you believe? I want to just continue that for a moment and show you perhaps some of the beginnings of it so you're not alone and where that would take you next. My partner, not long ago, was sitting on a mountain. It's a famous one. It's called Mount Sinai. And he gave a channeling that you can listen to easily. And he talked about Moses. Specifically, He spoke of that which Moses saw, which started everything that is the lineage of Moses, and that was the burning bush. I told you then that you have to go back to a time in history where there were no inventions that would give light in any way unless it was flame. So there was no real way to have light that occurred on the ground unless there was flame. The idea of electricity or illumination in any other form was simply not in the minds of any humans. And so that burning bush, dear ones, was an angel. It was magnificent on the ground, right in front of him, speaking to him, and filled with light. And all he could see in his consciousness of the day was a bush that burned. That's the perception, and it's based upon that which humans know and see and believe. And if things are of a higher vibration that they have no concept of, they will often mislabel what they see because they have never seen it before in its full form. We also told you that the mantle that was put upon Moses, that is his purpose of what he was to do next, was something he didn't necessarily like. And it's the beginning of doubt, even within Moses. He doubted himself first. Could I do this? It seems too much. Did I imagine that I had a conversation with God? Why did I have to take off my shoes? What was really there? And it continued all the way through all of the miracles, all the way through until he was in the desert, walking around for years and decades, all of these things, and he was frustrated at every point. Once, and only once that was recorded, he even hit a rock in frustration. Dear ones, do you see anything in that that might be you? This is perception. And the first perception is not that he saw the wrong thing or misidentified a beautiful angel and called it a burning bush. No, the biggest perception that I want you to see is he doubted himself. That is the human perception that prevails even to this day. Because in corporeal form, dear ones, you always know what you can do and what you can't do and what's odd and strange. And then when you meet someone or see something that is above that, it's very special, isn't it? What is ascension? When Elijah ascended, where did he go? Well, first, we have taught over and over that Elijah turned into light on the ground. He didn't go up into the sky where he was turned into light. And Elisha saw it, wrote it down. But where did he go? Once he ascended, where did he go? Now today you would call Elijah one of the ascended masters. You have many ascended masters on this planet, and there are many belief systems where human beings, like Elijah, had similar experiences. And whether it was death or seeming death, they would ascend. So in your perception, where did they go? Now some would say, well, they went to the other side of the veil. What is the veil? And then there are some who stayed in their ascended form. Would you agree there are ascended masters on the earth at this moment? And that is a yes from the group in front of me. And that is correct. Therefore, how can they be on the other side of the veil in ascended form and also here? Do you see where this might be going? Your perception of the reality of what is special, what is real, What is not, how it looks, is completely and totally dependent on what you've been told. The other side of the veil can be so many things to so many people. In its basic form, the veil represents things you don't understand. In most cases, these things are spiritual. But the veil moves depending upon who you talk to and what they've experienced. If you talk to, for instance, someone who regularly traverses between the worlds, where is the veil? How permanent is it? And truly, what does it represent? So we bring this all to you to show you several things. But one of them, in this place, that is the most significant, is what do you believe is happening in the mountain? You're at Shasta. Now, there are those who will say, well, I know and feel and believe in my heart of hearts that there are those in the mountain that exist that you cannot see because they're in a non-corporeal form. Question, are they ascended? Answer, what do you mean by ascension? And this is where you get into the semantics and where the words will actually turn people off or they will not go any further. So let's change all that. Do you believe in love? Can love go between that which you have here and the veil? And the answer is absolutely. Is there love for you from the mountain? Absolutely. So you have to throw away the minutiae for a moment, just for a moment. What is the definition of ascension? What is the definition of consciousness? Is it possible for this or that? And feel loved. There's something happening right at this second from the mountain. You see, these messages in this moment were expected by those in the mountain. Telos has been waiting for you for a time after 2012 to open this time capsule, to start to reveal those things which they hold as Pleiadians, as parents of humanity, as loving creatures, if you want to even use the word creature, if they were able to and wanted to, this moment appear to you, let me give you a little bit of a hint of what it might look like. First of all, a ball of multidimensional, colorful energy that's going to come through the wall and reside on the ground. And some of you would call it a burning bush. Have you got that part? And if there were messages for you, you would not hear them in the air, you'd hear them in your mind. Like the burning bush. Does that mean anything to you? They may say this is sacred ground because we are sacred, and they may even ask you to take off your shoes. Does that sound familiar? And they would pour love at you. And any human being who could then sit and understand what was going on with free choice would be changed. They don't do that. And the reason is because it would influence your free choice, because someone off the street who doesn't believe what you believe could see that, and suddenly they'd fall on their face in fear and their life would change. And that's not the plan. The plan is free choice. And the most that they are allowed to do under these rules is to appear and disappear in the corner of your eye, perhaps, and to love you so much you can't deny it. To love you so much you can't deny it. Imagine waiting all that time for 2012 to arrive, watching the planet just barely start to react to new energy, but immediately old souls are starting to remember. There is a plan. We've got something to do. And there are those we want to meet, and we don't understand where they are, but they feel like loving parents. Welcome to the shadow of the mountain. There are some of you who will go out alone and sit. And when you sit, what do? You admire the mountain. You talk to the Pleiadians. How many of you said, I invite you in? To the degree that it's correct. Mother, father, parent, that's the energy of the mountain to you. Not odd, not strange, not a multidimensional portion of the galaxy that you don't understand that somehow resides in the mountain. It's your parents that gave you 23 chromosomes. And time doesn't matter. We said that last night. It's a circle. It's instant. They're here, and so are you. On schedule, they expected this meeting, these things that are being taught, and you, your name goes here to be here. Some of you will say, well, how could that be? I only decided 2 days ago to come. What a coincidence that you would be sitting here listening to this. You're here by appointment. Your appointment. I want you to remember this and know this. In the exercises that may follow after the meal that you will have, I want you to call upon these to give you information that you will then report back to help identify the missing pieces of information and revelation in the wheel. I've asked my partner to give you a couple of really difficult ones. And the reason is that you're in the shadow of the mountain. You're here. They're here. Listen. And it's not too difficult. These have to come from humans. Do you understand this? God does not then hand you things that you use. The tools are there. This is one of them. You're here. And you are an old soul. These must be developed by humans who remember the teachings from the stars. That is why you sit in the chair, dear ones. We could reminisce. And we could tell you that the Pleiadians, although they have high consciousness, they don't think a lot differently than you do. Not really. They want the same things in their reality that you do. Through eons of time, their planets developed peace. This is why they look at you and they say, the shift has started just like it started for us. And they will look at their own history in corporeal form and remember what that meant. They'll also remember how long it took. And they will look at you like parents and say, be patient, because this is the beginning. But the seeds that were parents will also then bring out the teaching and say, even though it's the beginning, you've got to have the books. You got to have the wheel. It's a return to the original source information that has always been precious and real and beautiful. Is it possible that Moses got a message from the stars at the right time in the right place to start something happening that would then impact and today in the structure of countries, politics? And I will say yes. Everything is timed appropriately for puzzle solution. There are those on this planet who will say, everything has been planned for being a victim. And they will tell you about the history. And they will say, see, it all goes to dark energy. And that seems to be the plan. And that's why God is not real. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That's free choice, dear ones. You're looking at what you decide. And you've seen where it has taken you. And you've seen what is possible with those who would think darkly and take others with them and create massive death on the planet. That's humans with humans, and that's all it takes. I've said this before. It does not take an evil entity with a tail and horns to create the darkness you have seen on this planet. That's human nature. That's what you've done. That's free choice. And now things are shifting. And that free choice is starting to move the other way because now there's revelation. Revelation that's so easy to see. Light is so easy to see when it's revealed in these ways. Consciousness starts to change and you don't allow things you used to allow. Now, that is a lighter consciousness. Do you see that? And the reason I bring that up is because that's exactly what your star seeds saw on their planet. It has the same attributes of conscious evolution. And it only seems to start after certain things, the prophecy of the shift. It's real. Did the Pleiadians have a shift? Yes. They had a time limit for their civilization, just like you did. Yours was the precession of the equinox in the second phase. In other words, you had two of them. They did too. They know what it's like, what you've gone through. What you're going through. They know what it's like to doubt yourself and the reality. How much of them will you allow in you today? With free choice, when you look at the mountain, you might even raise your hands and say, give me all of it. Don't minutiaize it. Now, here's why I'm here. I got a problem with this. Can you help me with this? And the answer is no. That's not what they're here for. They're here to fill you up with so much wisdom and knowledge that you already know that all of those problems you will bring, you're going to solve yourself. That's enlightenment. That's why they're here. This is an age of change. These nodes around the world have similar attributes, but this one is the one you're next to. Take advantage of it. Some of you are going to stay in this area. Some of you are leaving. I'll tell you something I'm going to tell you even later tonight. Leaving is a linear idea. Think about it. And so it is.